with SDPB News. I'm Crystal Mija. Sioux Falls police are investigating a new homicide. On November 23rd, Sioux Falls police responded to a reported stabbing near the 500 block of South Duluth Avenue. Simultaneously, friends of 25-year-old Aiden Ray Quickbear, the victim in the stabbing, drove him to the hospital. Police say he eventually succumbed to his injuries and died. Captain Mike Colwell is the investigations commander for the department. He says not much information can be shared, but the investigation is underway.
The next steps are happening currently. We're meeting with the Minnehaha County State's Attorney's Office to go over the details of the case. I would expect within the next few days that hopefully we will be in position to make an arrest, and then we'll proceed from there. It depends on the turnaround time on some of the evidence in the state lab. Could be a factor for us, but they have been historically fantastic when we have a big case here in Sioux Falls at making sure that we're a priority.
Although the investigation is early, police say they have a person of interest. A Rapid City man is charged with several drug-related felonies following an investigation by multiple federal, state, and local law enforcement. That's according to Attorney General Marty Jackley. Nicholas Shell is accused of possession with intent to distribute in a drug-free zone, maintaining a place where drugs are kept, sold, or used, and possession with intent to distribute marijuana. He's also accused of two felony counts of possession of a controlled substance and one misdemeanor count of possessing drug paraphernalia. The Attorney General's office says law enforcement arrested Shell during a traffic stop where they seized two handguns, drug paraphernalia, and $1,400 cash. Officers conducted a follow-up search warrant at Shell's house, where they say they recovered several pounds of marijuana, psilocybin mushrooms, and other drug-related items. The search also led to the discovery of 13 additional firearms and more than $160,000. Shell's preliminary hearing is scheduled for Wednesday. A former Oglala Sioux Tribe treasurer is indicted for alleged embezzlement and theft from the tribe. 50-year-old Mason Big Crow is pleading not guilty to the charges. As treasurer, he had nearly exclusive access to the tribe's debit and credit card, as well as to the tribe's bank accounts. The Pine Ridge man faces up to 10 years in custody and a $250,000 fine. According to the U.S. Attorney's Office, Big Crow is accused of making unauthorized personal purchases between January 2021 and March 2023. As of now, a trial date has not been set. Attorney General Marty Jackley is urging public support for law enforcement after two officers were injured on duty. Jackley says the two officers were injured Tuesday in vehicle crashes. Jackson County Sheriff Tucker Amiot was injured on I-90. A South Dakota Highway Patrol trooper was also injured in a crash on I-29 in Union County. Jackley asks that drivers be aware of their surroundings by slowing down and moving over for emergency vehicles parked on roadways. South Dakota's U.S. senators expect confirmation hearings for President-elect Donald Trump's cabinet nominees. But as SDPB's Lee Strumager reports, Republicans aren't writing off allowing Trump to put nominees into their positions while in recess.
Presidential cabinet nominees typically go through a Senate confirmation process. President-elect Trump has suggested using recess appointments to install his cabinet without the chamber's approval.
There will be Senate hearings. There's got to be a process for these nominees.
That's Senator John Thune, the incoming Senate Majority Leader. However, he says he's not taken recess appointments off the table, but he says there must be a committee process.
That's advice and consent. I mean, that's our role under the Constitution, and we can't ignore that. So we've got to have a process. How it starts and how it ends, if somebody ultimately gets confirmed, how they get confirmed, you know, I'm not saying that that we wouldn't use any of the options that are available to us, but I hope with cooperation from the Democrats that we can just do them the way that sort of the old-fashioned way. We'll see.
South Dakota's other U.S. Senator, Mike Rounds, says President Trump should get the benefit of the doubt for his cabinet nominees. However, he says he does not anticipate nominees getting installed while the Senate is out.
Most members of the Senate don't believe in allowing their constitutional responsibilities to be usurped by recess appointments.
Brown says he expects committee reviews of cabinet members and deputies to start once the new Congress is sworn in at the beginning of January. Then, he says, when President Trump is sworn into office, the chamber can start the approval process for the nominees. I'm SDP Beasley Strubinger.
Attorney General Marty Jackley believes changes in the Department of Justice under President-elect Trump will have a positive impact on South Dakota. In a conversation with Lori Walsh on In the Moment, Jackley was critical of current U.S. Attorney General Merrick Garland.
He comes to South Dakota, doesn't meet with the attorney general, doesn't meet with local prosecutors. That isn't the type of attorney general we want. We want an attorney general, when they come to our state, sits down with us and has a candid conversation of how are things going in Indian country? How are things going on our task forces? Are we doing everything we can do on human trafficking, the drug trade? How are things going at the Sturgis rally with gang-related activity? What can we do to be a better partner? Those conversations never happened. It was just simply a photo op.
Jackley says the role of the DOJ is to keep the checks and balances in the government. He believes Pam Bondi, Trump's pick for attorney general, will do that. Two South Dakota agriculture organizations are watching potential upcoming tariffs closely. President-elect Trump is vowing tariffs on goods imported into the country. As SDP Beasley Strubinger reports, both ag groups remember Trump's trade war during his first administration.
On Monday, Trump vowed 25% tariffs on goods from Mexico and Canada, as well as additional 10% tariffs on products from China, unless the countries control the flood of illegal drugs into the U.S. Speaking with SDPB's In the Moment before Trump's new tariff announcement, Scott Vanderwall with the South Dakota Farm Bureau says the talk of tariffs makes his group a little bit nervous.
Because we feel that there are other ways to negotiate, but President Trump is going to do things the way he feels he should, and he received quite a majority in the vote to put him back in that office, and so he's going to do things his way. You know, when that tariff hammer is there, that's something that you can kind of threaten as you negotiate. We kind of wish he'd wait just a little bit when he goes into negotiations with it, but like I said, that's the way he handles things.
Tariffs aside, Vanderwall says a Trump administration will be better for agriculture overall by reducing regulation, overhead, and red tape on industry. Doug Somke is with the South Dakota Farmers Union, which worries about permanent damage to markets for the state's top commodities. Somke says U.S. soybeans lost a big market with China during the first Trump administration.
If that one's ever going to come back, it's going to take a pretty big switch, because the likes of South America have really taken that over, and China has invested heavily down there in their infrastructure and ports. So us getting that market back, it's going to be a real stretch.
President Trump supports the use of tariffs against U.S. trading partners he views as taking advantage of the country. Most economists say U.S. consumers will ultimately bear the cost of tariffs. I'm SDP Beasley Strubinger.
As consumers become increasingly drawn to local food markets, farms serving the Sioux Falls area have been happy to meet the new demand. Many are even using local produce to create, quote, fresher tasting meals for the holidays. SDPB's Jackson Dirks has more.
Sioux Falls area residents gather at the Falls Park Farmers Market to buy produce on a Thursday evening before Thanksgiving. The market hasn't been open since October, and it won't open again until May. Consumers from the area are gathered to pick up produce from the Cornucopia, a farm a little over an hour away in Sioux Center, Iowa. Typically, by this time in the year, most of the growing seasons for local farmers have ended. However, the Cornucopia utilizes farming strategies to extend their produce growth and sales into late fall. Anna Timmer is the assistant farm manager for the Cornucopia. She's handing out produce to customers in sub-freezing temperatures. She says the farm can extend its growing season by utilizing high tunnels.
The high tunnel adds about 11 to 13 degrees of extra protection from the outside. Kind of depends a little bit on the weather and how sunny it is and that kind of a thing. So we're able to really extend our growing season late into the fall that way and pretty early on in the spring. Another thing that we do is we use something called row cover, which is basically like a big blanket for plants. And that adds anywhere from 2 to 3 degrees of extra warmth. And so we can kind of like extend it beyond that.
Timmer says that many farming industries use hothouses, but these are different than the high tunnels. One key difference is that hothouses have cement floors, whereas the cornucopia's high tunnels are made to plant crops into soil ground. Timmer says the cornucopia is able to provide fresh produce into the holiday seasons by paying attention to what is being cropped when.
Being mindful of planting crops that are designed to handle cold weather and utilizing those aspects of them so that we can continue to harvest off of it for longer. Like, we're not going to try to plant tomatoes in January. Like, that doesn't work out, but yeah, so just kind of using those strategies to extend our growing season for as long as possible.
She specifically mentions spinach and lettuce as some crops that can handle lower temperatures. Karen Hanmer is a customer. She says it's produce like this that are best to feed her family.
I think just being able to experience the produce as it was intended. It's not adulterated, it's not injected, it's not compromised at all. Last night I made chicken and I roasted carrots and potatoes and onions and garlic, all that came from my CSA box from Farmer John last week.
Hanmer says she intends to use this produce from the cornucopia for her family's Thanksgiving celebration. Grace Pokola is a repeat customer for the cornucopia. She says the quality of produce makes standing in line amid today's sub-freezing temperatures worth it.
The vegetables just taste so much better. Tomatoes, I think, is kind of the one that comes to mind. You can buy tomatoes in the supermarket all year round, great, but when you eat them, they don't taste like anything. And so it's just the taste is unmatched. And I know, like, you know, I also just appreciate that I'm not supporting the worldwide shipping of food and contributing to climate change in that way. And, you know, so there's just, and I appreciate supporting someone who's local and, you know, building a relationship in that way. And so there's a lot of things about it that I just love for practical ends.
Anna Timmer holds similar sentiments. She says the community is what makes it all worth it.
The part about going to a farmer's market that I love is that you look your customer in the eye. And that's not something that happens in a grocery store, or this is the only something that happens in a direct-to-consumer market. And I see regular customers week after week after week after week after week being here. Yeah, when you see somebody week after week after week, you have these small little conversations over a period of 26 weeks that where you end up by the end of the market season knowing them actually pretty well.
While shoppers are doing some last-minute holiday shopping, they appreciate the fresh produce to add to their table, knowing they're supporting local. I'm SDPB's Jackson Dirks.
As holiday travel ramps up, so too are the wrecks on slick roads. Tuesday, multiple significant crashes on the interstate closed eastbound I-90 lanes, according to the Pennington County Sheriff's Office. The closure took place at mile marker 125, and the exits between Wall and Cactus Flat shuttered as a result. Holiday travel rushes typically mean an uptick in crashes, and authorities are urging caution on the roads. Average gas prices in South Dakota have risen slightly in the last week, just in time for the holiday travel season. According to the latest Gas Buddy survey, prices are up a little more than a penny. That makes the average gas price in the state $2.77 per gallon. That's still 21 cents cheaper than last month and nearly 35 cents cheaper than last year. Nationally, prices fell slightly, bringing the average down to $3.01 per gallon. Diesel has also fallen slightly, standing at $3.50 per gallon. Augustana University is partnering with the University of North Dakota to offer a new 5-year engineering degree. The program will launch in the fall semester of 2025 and will mix traditional on-campus learning and online courses. The classroom lessons will be offered at Augustana's Sioux Falls campus, while online courses will be done via UND before taking lab courses in Grand Forks, North Dakota. Upon graduation, chemistry students will have earned degrees in biomedical, chemical, or petroleum engineering. Physics and mathematics majors will earn their degrees in electrical or mechanical engineering. With SDPB News, I'm Crystal Mija. And that is your daily news update. Make sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram at SDPB News and visit sdpb.org/news to stay up to date on all our journalism as it comes in. And as always, thanks for listening.